Dinesh Karthik, I think, is just destined to never bat. Even when he's in the squad, he's he never ends up batting.
When I saw the team, I was like, okay, who's going to bowl? Who's the strike bowler?
Hardik Pant, Rishabh Pant. Hardik Pant. Interesting new cricketer who can be a batsman, bowler and wicketkeeper.
This Sri Lanka team, the spirits are really up. And a unit which is super high on morale and energy.
And like you said, the reason they won is just a desire to win. On paper, this team is still an incredibly average team.
Anytime anyone mentions squad strength, I'm like...
We say this like 10 million times in sports. The squad on paper does not matter. If you don't get the result, no one gives a crap if you go, oh, but we had better batting and our bowling is better. Some real positives on the bowling side. Naseem Shah, random pace bowler debuting, but that's just what Pakistan does. It's in their blood. Their fielding has to get better. Number two, the running has to get better between the wickets.
Afghanistan on their day is a proper, proper cricketing side.
I think you're exactly right, Gui.
Wow. Wow.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of All About Sports, the podcast, a podcast by the fans, for the fans. Before we get into this week's episode, a quick reminder of our last week's episode. Do check it out. It's about Serena Williams. It's basically a tribute to her, the GOAT of women's tennis. She played her last Grand Slam, the US Open, her last tennis, professional tennis tournament, possibly, maybe she makes a comeback. And the whole episode was just about her, her amazing career. Really stats filled. So if you're looking to find out more information about Serena, do check it out. There's a bunch of stats, mostly the most incredible ones on her career. So do check that episode out. With that, let's get into this week's episode. You're joined today by myself, Rishabh Krishnan, as well as other co-hosts, Aniket Gui.
What up, Krishnan?
And today, with the time that we're recording, the Asia Cup has just gotten done. Sri Lanka defeating Pakistan to win the Asia Cup. Super surprising result to most people, I would think, at the start of this tournament. Definitely not favorites going in, but a very, very impressive result. So we want to cover a lot of the Asia Cup, look through the biggest teams coming out of this tournament. But Gui, let's start close to home. Let's start off with Team India. We've spoken about them a little bit in a short clip that we did after the India-Pakistan game. Do check that out. It was a pretty fun one. So do check that out as well as on our page. Gui, let's talk about India first. Obviously, a very disappointing competition. Rohit Sharma was captain for like maybe his second series since he's become captain. Mm-hmm. Overall, pretty disappointing. Barring in the Super 4 stage, the only team we beat was Afghanistan. Lost to both Pakistan as well as Sri Lanka. One shining moment, though, was Virat Kohli. Give us a review of India in this tour and what went wrong for us.
So, if you ask me, right, I don't believe, like, when I saw the team, I was like, okay, who's going to bowl? Who's the strike bowler? Right? That was one question which kept coming to me. I'm like, what am I supposed to, who's going to lock people up in the death overs? Don't know. Who is going to trouble them at the top? Again, can't really pinpoint. It seemed like, I mean, again, Bumrah was injured, if I'm not wrong, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think he was injured. Yep.
Which means you can't play him. And even if this is that one of those, let's try out as many people as we can, not in a cup where you are going to face Pakistan, because it's always, those matches are always really on edge. You want to win as many of those, irrespective of whether it's a friendly or not. But again, to me, the problem was we've conceded what, 170? Once or twice we've conceded approx 150. How much did Hong Kong get against us? They didn't.
I think Hong Kong scored about. They scored about 120. I think, if I'm not mistaken. I think they folded like a pack of cards against Pakistan.
Against us,
they scored 150 actually. Wow, they actually got a 150.
That's I think that there were almost, I think, 2 150 scores at least against us. Doesn't really bode well. Like, okay, a lot of teams score 150 in T20s, but fine. Like, that's not what you want when, you know, apparently we have the best bowling lineup we've ever had in a bit. So that was one. Second was, again, not consistently firing at the top, which is fine. because maybe we had one good KL performance, we've had one good Kohli performance, we had one decent middle order performance between Hardik and like between Pandya and Jadeja. Jaddu got injured mid tournament, not ideal because he's one of the best T20 players in my opinion. I don't know what others seem to have in mind when it comes to Ravindra Jadeja, but that guy covers four overs and can bat for a bit. That too, not in a fashion which is just, you know, to keep the scoreboard ticking. He can really bat also, which helps. Again, I don't think our wicketkeepers really had a go with the bat. They weren't any good when called upon either, right?
Dinesh Karthik, I think, is just destined to never bat. Even when he's in the squad, he never ends up batting. I don't know what the hell goes on with him.
Right. So I don't think there wasn't like one consistent reason why we weren't good. It was just the squad overall never clicked, as if to say that, you know, we are the top dogs in this cup.
I think you're exactly right, Gui.
Wow. cricket opinion by me is
hey man, it's only one of many topics we have to cover, so let's see if you continue to be right. As of now, you are, but I think you're bang on, Gui. And it seems kind of weird to say, because I honestly feel like 6 months ago I said something to the effect of, India's exactly what you said at the start, India's bowling has looked better than it ever has, and I was really, really concerned by a bowling, because it's one of those weird things where a bowling lineup to me seems really obvious when it comes to our pacers. It's, to me, Bumrah, Shami, Bhuvi, right? Especially in T20 cricket, it's like almost it's a non-argument. For whatever reason, Shami consistently is not picked for the T20 squads and Bumrah is perpetually injured, which means we've consistently had to actually shift up who our two pace bowlers are. Oftentimes, Avesh Khan, especially in the recent months, has got an opportunity. Arshdeep Singh more recently. I will credit Arshdeep Singh. He's actually been decent, in my opinion, in the final overs. Bhuvi had a pretty disappointing tournament in the final overs. He started off very well, but didn't close out particularly well. So you're right. Our pace bowling especially looked a little bit shaky. I was never given much confidence. Avesh Khan, after having a really positive start in the international cricket, had a phenomenally disappointing last few games. I believe it was the West Indies series again where he really struggled, or one series before that where he really struggled, could not like manage his line or length, was kind of going all over the place. So you're right in the sense that we're really struggling to nail down who our pace bowling attack is. I also think from a spin perspective, I think we've said this many times before, I'm so lost on how to feel on Yuzi Chahal. He has games obviously when he's absolutely brilliant, but he has other games which in T20 cricket are literally sometimes the losing overs in a game. He'll go for two overs where he gets whacked for 32 runs and literally will turn a game on its head. I believe it was against Sri Lanka, was it? I think it was, or maybe it was Pakistan. I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Pakistan actually, where he had an absolute terrible over and basically gave away the game in that over, if I'm not mistaken. I'm kind of torn with him. And like you said, Jaddu is going to really hurt us for the T20 World Cup. Not having Jadeja in the T20 World Cup is going to hurt us. I will say, on the batting front, I actually felt weirdly more optimistic after this tour than I expected. I think before going into this tour, when we chatted maybe about a couple of months ago, we talked about how no one's really been consistent. Who's going to step up, you know, on a day-to-day basis? And honestly, this tournament, KL Rahul had a couple of good games. Rohit Sharma had a good game. Kohli was definitely our standout performer. It was great to see him sort of somewhat back in form, especially against Afghanistan. He's obviously scoring his first T20I century. But on top of that, Gui, his last 40 runs were beautiful. It was perfect, Kohli. It's such a throwback the way he was hitting the ball. So much wrist, beautiful drives through the cover. He looked amazing for those last 40 runs that he scored against Afghanistan. He looked phenomenal. I actually think in the earlier games, even though he got a high score, he still looked a little uncomfortable. Again, dropped against Pakistan very early on, dropped against Afghanistan very early on. But credit to him, he found a way to stick in. And I honestly think we're in a weird stage where I think we honestly can't go wrong with Hardik Pandya, Rishabh Pant, and Dinesh Karthik. Rishabh Pant. Interesting new cricketer who can be a batsman, bowler, and wicketkeeper. But Rishabh Pant and will always be a little bit of a loose cannon. We have to just budget that into who he is. But I think Hardik Pandya has been phenomenal since he's been back. His back issues are pretty much resolved. He can bowl a full four overs, at least in T20 cricket. Dinesh Karthik has proven himself to be a great finisher in cricket, both at the IPL level. And I think now enough times in T20 cricket, the last Asia Cup or maybe two Asia Cups ago being the main reminder. So I honestly think we're pretty good for batting. Jaddu will be missed, of course, but I actually feel a lot more optimistic and everyone's kind of showed up. I'm not as worried as I was maybe a couple of months ago for this T20 World Cup.
Yes. From the standpoint of who to pick if you want a decent 150 plus total every game, I think this is it, right? I don't think this needs much tinkering, so to speak. Just that you need them. I'd need like them to consistently fire, and we are there in every game. I think that they can get us to compete in every game, irrespective of whether we bat first or second.
And I think honestly, Jadeja being out maybe makes the selection easier. Like, I think the squad's pretty much set now. Maybe there's some discussion with Deepak Hooda just if they want some kind of part-time bowler. But other than that, I think the selection's done for the batsmen and all-rounders. I think we're pretty much set on who we're going to play. Gui, let's shift over to another team. The shocking winners, in my opinion, of this Asia Cup, Sri Lanka. We make this joke every time. Half the time Sri Lanka plays, you don't know who the hell their squad is. But absolute credit to them. They started off this tournament getting hammered by Afghanistan. Afghanistan chased down their total of 105 in 10.1 overs. So they had a horrific start to the tournament. From that to now going all the way through the finals and beating Pakistan, I think they won all five of their last games, if I'm not mistaken, in the tournament, or maybe four of the five, because they beat Pakistan in the final, Pakistan in the Super Four, India. Yeah, I think they won every Super Four game, actually. Yeah, so all their Super Four games, as well as their last group stage game and final. So, incredible turnaround. Gui, what have you seen from the Sri Lankan team? Is there anything that's gotten you kind of excited? Because I still don't necessarily believe their team is fully solidified. They still, I think, are going to have a lot of moving pieces in the coming years. But what excited you about them from this tournament?
So I'll tell you, this is not a batting or a bowling specific response, because I don't think they've found like an Ajanta Mendes in this, right? It's there's nothing which seems to be like an offbeat player who seems to have done the trick for them. This time, they just seem to be super, super high energy. Like this Sri Lanka team, the spirits are really up. And one thing which I can like say without any opposition from anyone is that Sri Lankan teams of the past did not seem to be this high energy. Like they just seem to be there. Yes, they had good players always, right? But individual good players, a unit which is super high on morale and energy. No, I can't remember of a single Sri Lanka team which has... There's this one point in the game where you see that all of them are there because it's like one of those games of tennis where you just know that one person wants to be winning harder than the other, right? The other one is on the back foot all the time. And this time I feel they've been in that position again in every game where they want, the desire to win has been very, 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 very evident, especially in this final. Like the contrast between the two teams, if you ask me, was in the energy they brought onto the field. And of course, one Manindu Hasaranga over also. Right. Yeah. That's what really, if you ask me the difference between this Sri Lankan team and any other Sri Lankan team I've ever watched, would be just that they seem hungrier than ever. What do you think? Because I know you watched more games than I have of this Asia Cup. Is there something which you think is like a more bowling or batting specific thing which they've done, changed from the past?
So Gui, I said you were right on the first one. So I'm going to say you're wrong on this. No, I'm kidding. You're half. I'd say I split between two things. I completely agree with you on the energy piece. The energy they've had in the last five games is phenomenal. And specifically in the final, as you saw, and we spoke about a little bit before this call, their fielding was outstanding. Their fielding in this final was absolutely incredible. They were taking catches. There was such quick reaction catches, phenomenal fielding on the boundary line. Varinder Hasaranga, even in the last Super 4 game, had a fantastic catch that he took against Pakistan, not in the final, but in the Super 4 game. They have been so high energy and upbeat in the field. It is absolutely beautiful to watch. They're diving all over the place. They're, you know, taking boundaries away from the opposition, making them twos or threes. They have been phenomenal. And like you said, the reason they won is just a desire to win. On paper, this team is still an incredibly average team. 6-7 months from now, we see a completely fresh list of names. The part I disagree with you on is I do think there were three shining stars from this tournament, and I think all of them were at the bowling end. The three names for me, the one you already mentioned, Vanindu Hasaranga, he is just notching up the credits in this last year and a half. He has been incredible. And what's beautiful about him is he's now not just a really wily customer with the ball. He's a phenomenal outfielder. He plays around this mid-wicket, deep mid-wicket region. He likes playing in the deep. He has a great arm from the deep. I think in the last Super 4 game against Pakistan, he got a run out as well. He's a good fielder. He's got good hands, good with catching. And today, the most impressive thing, Sri Lanka, I believe, were 56 for 5 in the 10th over. They recovered to score 170 runs. And a big part of that was Vanindu Hasaranga's partnership with, oh no, I'm forgetting his name now.
Okay, I'm looking.
Rajapaksa.
Yes. I should have thought precedence. I should have thought Sri Lankan precedence.
I will be honest. Whenever I have to think of a Sri Lankan cricketer, I can't think. I just default between Rajapaksa, Karunaratne, or Mendes. And typically, you generally end up being right. And I should have done that. I didn't go through the names. But Rajapaksa had a great innings along with Vanindu Hasaranga. So three people I think are going to be shining stars. We're going to see a lot of a Sri Lanka. And I actually think will be continually in their squad. Number one, Vanindu Hasaranga. Number two, Teekshana. I thought he had a really good tournament. And I think they're going to kind of have this spin partnership that I think Sri Lanka has gotten famous for, right? Whether like it's Muralidharan and Mendes, whether it's Muralidharan and Herath, they've always had this spin partnership going. And I do have a lot of optimism that Teekshana and Vanindu Hasaranga are going to be the future of that. I thought they had a phenomenal tournament. What's also been so impressive about them is a lot of their games, they were bowling some of the final overs post the 15th over. So not only are they bowling well, they're bowling in overs that typically we don't see a lot of spin bowlers in. So those are the two spin bowlers. The third name I think could be interesting is Madhushankar. For our viewers who watched the India game, he's the one who got that absolute beautiful in-swinger to get Virat Kohli out. Maybe not the best shot-making decision by Kohli in this like third ball of the innings, but still a phenomenal ball. He's a fast left-arm bowler, generally clocks above 140, comes in steaming. He can swing the ball both ways, especially in the opening overs. He's got pace. He's making the batsman think. He reminds you a little bit. Chaminnavas was actually not that as quick, but he reminds you a little bit of the Chaminnavas era of like left-handers bowling. He's probably more like a Dilara Fernando. Fernando's on lefty. He's a lefty. So I do think those three are the big three shining lights. And I can't help but think their signing of Chris Silverwood as coach is going to make a difference, right? I think Chris Silverwood had a maybe up and down time with England, you can argue, but that England team's desire to win, work rate in the field kind of bumped up under Chris Silverwood. And like you said, Gui, we saw the same thing with Sri Lanka this tournament. They just worked harder. And this is a great, to me, message to Team India, right? It doesn't matter. We say this like 10 million times in sports. The squad on paper does not matter. If you don't get the result, no one gives a crap if you go, oh, but we had better batting and our bowling is better. Sri Lanka just outperformed teams by wanting to win it more and deserves so much credit. Great to see them win, to be honest.
And if like games are won on paper, then Rajasthan Royals and Deccan Chargers would not have been on opposite ends of the table in the first season of the IPL. I think that's the best example. Anytime anyone mentions squad strength, I'm like, it's not on paper. Okay, this, go see that Deccan Chargers team. Okay, and see that Rajasthan Royals. I have done this for I don't know how many. How many IPL seasons I've gotten over? Ooh, all those 14? Seasons I've just referenced. I have only referenced those two teams.
Oh man, Guru, you're really taking me back. What a tournament they had. That was Shane Warne, right? Shane Warne, yes. The Rajasthan.
Yes.
Damn, good for them. And I don't think anyone betted on Rajasthan winning the inaugural IPL, especially with all the star stack. Especially Mumbai was such a stacked team. Chennai was a stacked team. I mean, Chennai reached the final, but yeah, that was a shocking upheaval there in that first one. So, Gui, we've covered two of the teams that you want to talk about, the two blue teams. Let's switch colors over to green. Let's talk about Pakistan. Honestly, not a bad tournament for them. They definitely outperformed India. Even though India won the first game, I actually thought they were the better team, even in the first game against India. Some real positives for them. Mohammad Rizwan having a phenomenal tournament. Babar Azam, on the other hand, not really having a great tournament. Overall, bit of a struggle for their middle order. Their middle order never really got the chance to perform. To some extent, you can maybe blame the fact that their top three, Fakhar Zaman, Babar Azam and Rizwan, bat so late that their middle order has to come in and like kind of panically rush and whack right off the bat, which is not the easiest setting to bat in. On the flip side, some real positives from the bowling side. Naseem Shah has come in again, random pace bowler debuting. But that's just what Pakistan does. It's in their blood. Gui, take it away for Pakistan. What went right? What went wrong? Are they like looking to be a top, like compete with the big four of India, Australia, England, New Zealand, maybe? What do you think of them?
In T20s, they really can, right? In T20s, they can, because their top three can bat, right? Okay, forget Babar Azam's tournament, because not much to talk about there. But Rizwan has been consistent as one can be, right? Like, having one off game is fine in a tournament which is like eight games for you, right? Okay, not eight, six, seven games.
Ooh, that's a good question. So I think three anyway. In group stage, three in group four, one final, so seven. Yes. Yeah, seven. Damn, nailed it, wait, seven. Yeah. Right?
So in seven games, if you have like one or two off games, you can't really, you are not supposed to be the best player in every game. But again, maybe today, like he had like a conservative stance in terms of, you know, how he bats, because it's a final, your top two haven't really shown up. And now you need to carry on till the end of the innings, because that has to be the instruction, right? For one of the top batters in the squad. Like, okay, your middle order hasn't really had the chance to bat as much or these many overs. So you have to stick around. And the moment he tried to have a few goes, I think when he was in his 40s, late 40s, like the 40s, he had one or two goes at the ball and then the wicket came, right? I don't think much can be said about the batting other than Mohammad Rizwan, because he was easily the best on offer in the Pakistan squad. The bowling attack is just one new bowler every tournament. We will get one new person to talk about every now and again. Okay, whether or not there is some Indian Bollywood actress oriented controversy or not later after the game, we don't care. But there will be one pacey young bowler. Okay, I don't know if he's young. Must be. You don't know. I don't know how much domestic cricket he's played.
I'm sure he's young. I think he's less than 23. But Gui, also, if you tell us what this controversy is, I actually don't know what the controversy is.
No, let's not provide publicity to those who don't need it to begin with.
So, I'm already looking it up. Okay, anyway, good.
So their bowling performances were good, except the fact that they let Rajapaksa bat till he got to 70 runs. I think they would have competed, right? They got to 147. They got to 147.
Mm-hmm.
That too, while trying, like, I think they had a 12 runs per over required run rate with six overs to go. I think they needed 72 or 36, and which is when they started, like, you know, hitting every ball and then got out. And even then they reached 147, right? So maybe if in the final the bowling lineup would have really managed to pull their weight, you never know. This result could have been very, very different, because 147 with an exceptional fielding side like Sri Lanka, I mean, for this tournament at least, with the Vanendu Hasaranga over, which had 3 wickets, it's still 147, which is an acceptable T20 score for on most occasions, right? So again, can't really complain much. They've lost what? They lost against India once. They lost against Sri Lanka twice, one of them being the finals. So they've not had a bad tournament themselves. They've had a very decent tournament. And when it comes to, if you ask me once again, whether they can compete with the quote-unquote big four of world cricket, in T20s, they most certainly can. Because it is kind of, if you ask me, T20 is what they're most suited for, right? Have a big innings on either side and the match could be yours. And for a side which is as eclectic, but now becoming consistent like Pakistan, I think it's the best format.
I see the same thing as well, because I still don't necessarily see them as a massive competitor at the Test cricket level. I don't even know at the ODI level, to be honest, but T20s definitely suit their style of play. Gui, I had to look it up. I had to look up the Urvashi Rotela, who, honestly, I don't know who that is. This is not even
good
that
for
much
you.
Dude, good for you. This is not even that much of a controversy. She just has a video of him with a love song. He doesn't even know who she is. This is that's the small...
Okay. She and Rishabh Pant go back and forth on Insta stories. So they were in a relationship. So one post, she will keep posting something. He will reply on Insta stories, like, without mentioning names. Okay. And she showed up for every India game. She showed up for every India game.
Ah, see, you've gotten the additional masala that we needed. Yeah. Perfect. Okay, this is very, very good information. I had no idea about that additional layer. So I was just looking up the other piece. I had no idea on the rest. But coming back to Pakistan, I think you covered it pretty much. Barring the middle order, that I think is a big void that they somehow have to exactly nail down who's going to play. I think Asif Ali and Nawaz seem to have solidified their spots. Khushdil and Iftikhar are probably a little bit more of a maybe at this point. They also bat very deep, which is a massive positive for them. They bat pretty much. Naseem Shah actually helping them win that game against Afghanistan, even in the last overs. I don't necessarily know if he's a good batsman. You know, sometimes you just swing and hit. I mean, Bumrah has the most number of runs in a test game, and I would never say Bumrah as an example of how India bats deep. But I think there are lots of positives to take away from Pakistan. But issues are middle order. The other thing that I think is just an issue for Pakistan, the intangibles. The fielding has to get better. It's weird because just 1 week ago, I said they fielded really well against India, Pakistan in the India-Pakistan game, barring Fakhar Zaman's mess up in the last over where he dropped a catch and sent it for 4 and then misfielded a ball and took it for 4. But since then, their fielding has just been horrible. And even today, I actually didn't catch too much of the first innings, but I repeatedly heard the commentators say they both dropped some catches, didn't have some misfields. And this is a consistent problem with Pakistan, which is really sad because they have such good pace bowlers. And Gui, we can count so many times where the fielders have not backed them up, especially in the slips. The bowler bowl a phenomenal ball, get the outside edge, get a catch that goes to slips, gully, and the fielding just doesn't back their players up. So their fielding has to get better. Number two, the running has to get better between the wickets. Mohammad Rizwan has been a refreshing example of what it can be. He's been really, really good. He's been running hard between the wickets, but the rest of the team has still not been doing a good job. They don't run the first run hard. And it's just like, it's one of those things where if they get better at these small intangibles, their team is just going to be bumped to the next level. And they have to just get better at those things because their bowling and their batting is now showing the kind of talent that should be performing better on a more consistent basis. But they just seem to miss their opportunities because of these voids. Another big positive for them, I will say, Shadab Khan, I mean, at this point, he's pretty much solidified his spot in the squad. He very consistently plays. He's been a very good customer for them, both with the ball and some extent with the bat, but mostly from the bowling standpoint. So he's also looking very, very solid. Gui, we just have a few minutes left. I don't want to go super long in this episode. I'll keep it completely open to you on how you want to cover this. Any takeaways you had from any of the other teams in the Asia Cup, which is basically, it seems like such a long tournament for there not being that many teams, but basically a few other teams, which was Hong Kong, Afghanistan, Bangladesh. I think those are the three other teams. Yeah, those that was it. Yeah. Any takeaways from any of them?
One thing, which I think we already know, but always deserves a mention, that Afghanistan on the day is a proper cricketing side, right?
Gui, quick question for you as you go into this. Are they now better than Bangladesh and even maybe Sri Lanka on average?
Bangladesh, yes. And they can tough it out against Sri Lanka in every game. I don't think Sri Lanka has, at least this Asia Cup side, what they looked like, has the makings to beat Afghanistan in every game. Because Afghanistan themselves are not like a super, super consistent side. But again, they have everything in their arsenal to compete with very, very good cricketing nations. So that is one thing which I'd like to mention. Hong Kong, Bangladesh, let's not.
I think that was my exact takeaway as well, Gui, from this tournament, is that the way in which Afghanistan is now pole vaulted in how I look at cricket. And the biggest thing that I think was jarring for me is looking at this Bangladesh team and how the Bangladesh team is almost stuck in the past, right? They're still so heavily reliant on Mushfiqur Rahim and Shakib Al Hasan, right? It's almost too heavily reliant on a very small number of players. It's kind of unfortunate to see because I almost feel like Bangladesh never took the big step up we expected them to take. You know, after the 2007 World Cup, especially knocking out India, you kind of had this optimism that this was the rise of Bangladesh. It's weird to say, but they've not made much progress. And instead, we're seeing teams like Afghanistan actually skip them in the line and now become much better. You're right that I think Afghanistan still... I think they will be one of the streakiest teams in world cricket. Because on their day, when Mohammad Nabi and Rashid Khan are firing, they can get teams all out for less than 100 and like easily chase it down. So if things are working well for that team, they can really, and not just win a game, dominate a team. But they're going to be a very, very streaky side. But I'm excited. I don't exactly know what the teams are for the T20 World Cup and if they have to play qualifiers to get in. But if they're going to be in, I think they could be an exciting team. And I'm saying now itself, I'm betting on them to have one game where they take out one of the big four. Not a game that's a knockout, but some random game. They'll like defeat England out of nowhere. I'm just not saying India. I don't want to jinx India. But any of the other three of the big four, I think.
Australia's
the pick. Australia, Aaron Finch is also retiring. Let's target Australia. That's the best option always.
Yeah, after, so isn't now Kane Williamson the only remaining captain from the previous World Cup? I think so. I think ICC only posted about it, that he's the only captain remaining from the previous ODI World Cup.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because India's changed. Australia's now changed. New Zealand obviously the same. Owen Morgan's retired. Can't remember who Pakistan's captain was for the last World Cup, right? But I don't think it was Babar Azam. You're right. Yeah. That is kind of a strange thing. Also, one of the most successful captains, I would argue, right now in world cricket. But that's probably a conversation for a later time. But for those of you listening, thank you so much. We hope you enjoy this episode. We do a bunch of cricket episodes, so make sure to check out all our other cricket episodes as well. We're trying to add in more masala. We'll have more Urvashi Rotela type content in the future. I'm just kidding. But if you did enjoy this episode, do make sure to share this episode, leave a like, send it to someone else who might enjoy this episode. Leave in the comments what you thought of the Asia Cup, who you thought performed well, maybe some players who were a disappointment. But that's all for this week's episode, and we'll catch you again next week. Bye-bye.
Peace out.
If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes, as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.